I'd like to welcome everybody. We have a few visitors with us today. We're all glad to have you. It's an honor to have you worship with us. Have a couple of announcements. I want to remind everybody, tonight is the last Sunday of the month, and so we'll be having a few more songs, scripture reading, and prayers tonight. Want to just remind you of that and welcome you back tonight. We need to remember in our prayers Scott and Dana Briggs. They are both at home. They had tested positive for COVID. I'm kind of surprised with Dana working in the hospitals. I'm surprised it's taken this long for her to get it. But remember them. In fact, let's go to God in prayer real quick on behalf of them before we get started in our lesson. Dear Heavenly Father, we humbly come to you, thanking you for all the blessings that you give us. We ask that you be with us as a congregation. Our desire is that you keep us safe and healthy. We come to you right now on behalf of Scott and Dana and Leah, that the doctors will be able to treat them properly and that they will be back up and running normal as soon as possible. Dear God, we ask that you be with all of us. Be with us as we continue our worship to you and get into the portion of the worship where we have a lesson from your word. We thank you for your word, and we pray everything through your son Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to look today, I get the right one. We're going to look today at a lesson called partiality. Easy to do, easy to get caught up in, not right to get caught up in, but we're going to look at a couple of different categories today. Dick read the scripture reading, and I'd like for us to focus on this right now, that what Paul wrote to the Galatians, it's as alive and well today what Paul wrote back in the first century. He wrote to the Galatians, he says, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus, in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus." That's what we need to remember. You talk about the great equalizer, being in Christ, is the equalizer.
Amen.
One of the ways that it's very common and easy to fall into the trap of showing partiality is with people. We are surrounded by people. We deal with people every day, and it is very common to show partiality toward people. The scripture we just read, Paul is saying, there's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither male nor female, slave or free. We're all one. God the Father created us all. And a lot of times if we think about it, man shows partiality due to income. The rich kind of stick together, the poor kind of stick together, and everybody in between. We might show partiality toward income, toward gender. That a gender is more important than the other. Or we show partiality based on gender. Race. If we wanted to show discrimination, if we wanted to discriminate and be partial toward people. How nice of different races to be born that way. It's visual. Income you may not be able to see right away. Race is visual. Gender is visual. Age. Are we ever partial with age? Now, when we talk about people, we need to define there are some people we naturally are more comfortable with. That's not showing partiality. Maybe even due to age. You get the same jokes. You make the same connections of movies or TV shows that you grew up watching. Things like that. We're not talking making connections with people. Jesus. Let's look at Jesus for a second. And we know he was perfect. He taught to the multitudes. And then he spent sometimes more time with the disciples, people that followed him. Not just the people that were there for the free lunch or, you know, give me some more fish or I've got a daughter that needs to be healed or something like that. His disciples, he spent more time with. And then of the disciples, there was the 12. And of those 12, there were three, Peter, James, and John, that spent a little bit more time. He went with the disciples out to the garden, and then he took Peter, James, and John a little farther. You wait here, keep an eye on me while I pray. And of those three, one of them was described as the disciple Jesus loved, the Apostle John. We're not saying that we can't have people we're maybe closer with than others. Some of us have known each other longer, have similar interests, but not partiality. When it gets to showing partiality, when there's cliques, when there's shunning, that's wrong. Sometimes we're partial based on age, on looks, the talls and the shorts, the thins and the not so thins, the looks. In James, it's probably the first scripture you'd think of going to this. In James 2, he writes, "For if there should come into your assembly a man with gold rings in fine apparel, and there should also come in a poor man in filthy clothes, and you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes and say to him, you sit here in a good place, and say to the poor man, you stand there or sit here at my footstool. Have you not shown partiality among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brethren, has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Does not the rich oppress you and drag you into the courts? Do they not blaspheme that noble name by which you are called? If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You do well. But if you show partiality you commit sin. I'm going to read that again. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. In Acts 10:34, when Peter was addressing Cornelius, Cornelius was a Gentile. He was not a Jewish convert. And the early church, Peter had some trouble with going to the Gentiles until God had to tell him three times. And in verse 34, it says, then Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. Peter finally got it. There is no partiality with God between Jewish converts to Christianity and Gentile converts to Christianity. So if God shows no partiality, I shouldn't either. The concept goes all the way back to the Old Testament. When Moses was appointing helpers to judge and to take some of the pressure off of him. Tell you, Jethro, his father-in-law, had a good idea. You can't handle this yourself. Appoint men under you. And Moses is addressing these people and how they should go about this. And he says in chapter 1, verse 17, you shall not show partiality in judgment. You shall hear the small as well as the great. You shall not be afraid in any man's presence, for the judgment is God's. The case that is too hard for you, bring to me, and I will hear it. The concept of people being people are people goes all the way back to the early part of the Bible. Don't show partiality amongst people. Don't, in your judgments, show any discrimination or prejudice in anything. Excuse me. Sometimes, and this is not, please, before I should have said this at the beginning, this is more of an introspective reflection, not an accusing, not saying that you show partiality or that I show partiality. It's, we need to keep our eyes open to make sure we don't. Do we do it with worship? The difference between morning and evening worship. Do we ever have the, oh, that's just evening, it's not as important. If we're coming together to worship the Lord God Almighty, there is no greater and lesser worship. We need to make sure we don't make a difference between the two. So I'll see you guys all tonight, right? See you all tonight. Do we do it with preachers? Partiality. Oh, I like this preacher more than this preacher. Or I'm boycotting this preacher. I'm not going to listen. I don't like the way he presents lessons. Do people present lessons differently? Yes. Is it about what we like? If a preacher is sound, that's the only thing that should matter. If a preacher is sound in God's eyes, We're going to have different abilities. You know, Sunday nights when the men take turns and different men present the lessons, do they all present it in the same way? No. Different personalities have different methods of presenting the lessons. Will people stumble all over themselves when David Phillips come in a couple of weeks? Will they make a difference, but good or bad? Because they like him. Or the men's Sunday evenings. Do we show partiality in the different parts of worship? Do we hold the Lord's Supper more important than the lesson? Do we hold the lesson more important than the prayers? Do we hold the prayers more important than the songs of praise we sing to God? Do we see worship as a list of things to check off? I heard a scripture, check. We said a prayer, check. We sang a song, check. I've taken communion, check. I'm out of here. That would never happen, would it? Ever in a million years. The parts of worship. Now, this might be something the men at this location, we might meet and discuss a little bit more. I appreciate, I truly do, the men that want to make sure that I don't have to rush a lesson. Because there's been times where I've gotten up at 10 after, quarter after, and I'm thinking, I'm trying to fit 2 pounds of bologna in a pound package. And it's just, how am I going to get this? I appreciate. Let's not drag things out. I can appreciate that. But I want to throw this out. It's not for discussion right now, but I want to throw it out. Why? Is what the men have to say for the Lord's Supper any less important than the songs that we sing to God? When we're focusing on the death of the Son of God and the sacrifice, is that any less important than what I've got to say? Is that less important than the prayers we offer to God? Why do I need to start the lesson at 11? To get out by a certain time? If that's the goal, we can discuss it. But why do we need to get out at 11:30? Why? Where is it said we've got to end at 11:30? To beat the Baptist to the buffets? Well, that might be a reason, Trace. If Mark said go. If you got to beat them, beat them. But it's something that I want us to contemplate. Do we show partiality in any way with people or with worship? Whether it be distinguishing between the morning and evening lesson? Have you ever encountered somebody? It's just Sunday night. It's a worship to God, our Creator. Or the kind of worship. For example, tonight, I have personally seen people discount the evenings that we have our singing, scripture, those, I'll tell you, those have been some of the most beneficial and uplifting lessons or worships that we have. But people say, that's just singing. We're doing singing. That's just a singing night. Just singing praises to God the Father. Just offering prayers to God the Father. Just reading some scriptures. Wow. John 4, Jesus addressed this issue. He started in verse 23 and says, "But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him." God the Father is seeking those that will worship Him like that. Verse 24, God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. Jesus said in Matthew 15, "These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." These verses are so beneficial for us today, because I know we don't want to be seen as that. And hopefully we never will. In 1 Corinthians, Paul addresses this in chapter 3. Paul wrote, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not solid food. For until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you are still not able. For you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For when one says, 'I am of Paul,' and another, 'I am of Apollos,' are you not carnal? Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one." This issue of showing partiality about preachers was going on in the first century. Paul taught me the gospel. So? Apollos taught me. It was the same gospel. The gospel was in Christ. Paul goes on to say, "I planted, Apollos watered, God gave the increase. So then, neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase." God does not show partiality. Neither should we. He doesn't show it with people. Christ died for all of us.
Amen.
He didn't show partiality with his sacrifice, and we shouldn't show it either. He doesn't show it with worship, neither do we. If you need to respond to the invitation, and like I said, please, this was not an accusatory lesson. This was more of one of a self-reflection. I know I don't want to do that. I don't want to show partiality. Because we saw it's sin. If you need to respond to the invitation for prayers, to repent, to put Christ on in baptism. If you haven't put your Lord on in baptism, if you haven't been baptized, you're not in Christ. You haven't been forgiven of your sins. Whatever your need, if you need prayers of the congregation, let us pray with and for you. Whatever your need, let us stand as we sing the invitation. Daryl.